This is Annuity Straight Talk. Since 2008, your host, Brian Anderson, has helped clients nationwide navigate the complex market for annuities. With Brian's assistance, hundreds of clients have achieved a profitable and secure retirement. I would know, because Brian has answered many of my questions concerning annuities and retirement planning. So that you can benefit as well, let's get started. Here's Brian.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Annuity Straight Talk podcast. My name is Brian Anderson, founder and creator of Annuity Straight Talk. And out there on the western side of the country is the highly educated and esteemed Ashok Ramji. Say hello.
Hello. Sir. How is everyone?
And here we are again. We did last week, Ashok. You want to give a quick recap of what we talked about last week?
We talked about the guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefit riders and how, when those are on different annuity contracts, what people should know about them in order to make an informed decision.
Right. And that's where, would you say that's probably, I want to think I read an article years ago that said something about 80% of contracts, annuity contracts sold, came with an income rider on them. Does that sound about right? So a lot of guys are out there selling.
Correct. Because they think these are annuities, you often equate income. Someone says maybe at the very beginning, hey, I need guaranteed income, buy an annuity. That might be the original perception of these products, right?
Right. And that's correct. And I would say, we were talking right before this, Ashok, you liked the fact that I said this was the passion of mine that created the idea for Annuity Straight Talk, because for many people, and that has been affirmed for me over the years, that this is really the reason why I started the website, so that people knew there was another option that had all the same benefits plus more.
I love it. I was just talking with a friend and client out in California, and he is our age. We're in our 40s, and he has enjoyed the market's growth on some of his investments. And he said, I just want to peel some of this off to the side and let it grow safely without market risk. And he doesn't focus on income right now. So they do serve another purpose.
That is true. And so that goes back to a newsletter I wrote, probably 2 years ago. It came on the heels of working with an individual in California who went back and forth on different annuity illustrations and strategies and all sorts of stuff. And it was probably our third or fourth meeting. And this lady said, wow, it's kind of when the light bulb goes off. You know how that works, like trying to explain things to people, and some people get it and some people don't. But there's a point where everybody understands. And I hear the light bulb go on, bing. And she said, wow, I didn't realize that. I thought annuities were just for income. And so then I wrote the newsletter. Annuities are not just for income. You've got tax deferral for variable annuities. You've got safety, market volatility, guaranteed income, of course, but there's all sorts of different reasons you can use them, and you don't have to do all of those things. You can take a simple approach, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about. So,
excellent. That's something where people really should know. These are the different applications you can use for annuities.
And honestly, knowing that annuities can be used for several purposes, and again, the average retiree doesn't have 18 years to research this. They got to make a quick decision. So then again, we're always trying to compress the educational process to get to people exactly what they want to see and need to know before they have to make a decision. But this is really something that's evolved over almost two decades now.
Where people are wanting to see the different approaches and how can they figure out what's best for them?
Well, no, what I'm talking about is, like, I've been thinking about this for 20 years, where someone else who comes in and says, I'm retiring next month, how do I do this? They don't have 20 years to make that decision. So what we're trying to do is communicate, right?
Correct.
And that's where expertise comes in.
When you were first getting started, you had to go to the library. We've talked about this, but here you've had 20 years of experience really focusing on this. And now we're putting this podcast out where people can go listen to this for Annuity Straight Talk. They can also go to your website, annuitystraighttalk.com, schedule a call, and compress timeframes by learning everything you know in a very short period of time.
That is hopefully the case. So, and again, the reason is to educate people so they make good decisions. We're not just trying to sell an annuity to everyone. We just want to help, right? And that's what you're doing out in Seattle, and I'm doing here in Montana, and trying to do it all over the country, because I think I'm about 4 miles away from the next closest human being right now. So
let's talk about, there's a gentleman that you met recently, right? And this kind of helps put this in story form.
Yeah, exactly. So no, that's true. And that's always a good way to do it in a story. And this literally is something I'm working on right now with a guy I met about a month ago, maybe a few weeks, whatever it was. And he's got to make a decision by the end of the July. He's going to sell some real estate, and he's got money coming in, and he wants to use some of that money to buy an annuity for guaranteed lifetime income. So it was kind of perfect timing that we were doing that episode on the guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefits. The difference with this guy and a bunch of other people, most other people do not have the experience with annuities, but he's already got a few annuities that he's owned for several years. And so he knows how they work, and he's comfortable with them. But the point is, like, he really isn't going to retire for another 5 years, okay? And when we first talked, he said that his current annuities were already going to pay him more than he needs for steady retirement income, and this one would just be extra cash flow. So this is a situation I've seen a bunch. Now, he didn't need the annuity. He just wants it because he likes the idea of just having more than enough money, and that's kind of the question there. Have you ever seen that scenario where people thought they should buy an annuity but didn't necessarily need the income?
Yeah, I think when you start doing income planning, when you map out, okay, here's maybe your pension, here's Social Security, maybe they've got a side business, the income, rental properties, when you map it all out and you say, what are you really going to need for income purposes? Sometimes, hey, I've got dividend stocks. You map it all out and you say, hey, it'd be nice to have access to this if things got into a pinch, but I don't really need it and I don't want to lose it. So I got to hopefully have it maintain its purchasing power. So that's where I think what we're talking about is you don't want it gone in a split second. So you want it to be there and grow and maybe take some income from it optionally.
Yeah. And the idea is that a lot of those people will go and say, well, I want protection and safety, and I don't want anything to do with the stock market. But the only thing everybody else is selling is this guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefit. And we talked about it last week. Here's a big bonus. Here's a guaranteed interest rate. It's not an interest rate. It's a roll up. It's an increase in income like Social Security, all those things. And so we're really just trying to zero it in and show people like there's a lot more to this market and there's a fit for everyone. And I've always looked at it because this isn't something that I envision, because it's not up to me to tell someone how to spend their money. It's just trying to show them how they can do what they want to do. But what I found, Ashok, over years is a lot of people would buy the annuity. Now, I found this more efficient approach for a lot of people. And for instance, someone who said, well, I want to spend $10,000 a year in retirement, so I need a solid place to do it. So we look at all the different options and they pick a spot. And then they retire 2 years later and they find out that maybe they're not spending as much money as they thought they would. And I had another client in California that bought the annuity and thought he was going to need all this money, but his habits changed, his lifestyle changed. He realized his expenses weren't as much as he thought they would be. He paid off his mortgage, all that stuff. And he thought, I don't even need it. And so that guy bought an annuity 5 years ago, hasn't touched it since, and hasn't used the money at all.
You know what the problem is? Well, wouldn't a problem be that if you had bought something where you had a product with the guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefit rider, and you think this is going to be your situation, and you buy something with the fee, and then if your situation has changed in 5 years' time, that product may not fit your current situation, but there might have been a fee that was eating up some of your capital.
That's a very big part of it. You're right. And a lot of it was, I think that contract was $400,000. And a 1% fee would have taken off, or 5 years would have taken off at least $20,000, right? And then likely more, plus the lost opportunity cost of the money. And who doesn't want an extra $20,000? So it's just a matter of just showing people what you can do when you're in control of the outcome. And you may have it like, so I've got a little story about this to illustrate the point. And it was in 2018 was the big deal for me, where my wife needed a new car. So I bought her a new car. And then I decided, I live in Montana and we can get some heavy winters. And I decided I never wanted to shovel snow again. I also don't like snowblowers because they leave a thin film of snow that turns into ice, and I hate snowblowers. But I didn't have a huge driveway, big enough that it was hard to shovel snow. I bought a four-wheeler, put a plow on it. The plow was like $800. And essentially, it was a big expenditure year, right? And that's not going to be every single year. I'll probably never have to buy a new four-wheeler again. My wife might get a new car every 5 or 6 years, something like that. But the point is that I spent more money in 2018 than I did in 2019 or 2020. And so I would assume that's the way it is in retirement. And what people need, not necessarily, is basic everyday money, that you've got to have your necessary expenses, but you need a discretionary fund to draw money from for those extra expenses.
That's where the flex strategy really comes in, right? Because you can have a solution that protects your money, provides that extra cash flow. And then if you have an outlier year like you did in 2018, you can resume your normal patterns and hopefully not feel like you've been put into a straitjacket.
Absolutely. And so that's really the point of this. So I think that spending goes up and down. So one thing I was going to say is about this specific case, we can use it to illustrate some numbers, right? So in this situation, so Mark is the guy's name. He doesn't need extra income. He just wants it. Okay. Now I went out and I looked at the highest paying products and I could just sell him that annuity. And, you know, we had a good rapport and he liked the idea of doing business with me, so I could take the easy way out. But I really feel just an obligation to disclose the other opportunities for him. And I thought it was a good opportunity to show him a lucrative strategy. He wanted the income, but he didn't really need it. Okay. So Ashok, he was, and you can see the notes as well as I was. He was 63 years old. He wanted to put $500,000 into the annuity and take joint lifetime income in 5 years. I found now the best available deal, considering all factors. And by factors, I mean the company rating and all that stuff. So there were a couple that were a little bit higher, but maybe, you know, lower rated companies that I didn't really like. So, but he was looking at about $34,000 per year. And that was guaranteed monthly checks that is his need for income. So Ashok, if he doesn't need the income, but he's got cash flow coming anyway, what's he going to do with the money?
He's got cash flow coming in, but he doesn't need the income. He's going to most likely save it, right?
Yeah, he'll put it in the bank or something like that.
And the challenge is if you have a hefty amount of cash flow, I would think, and you can put it in a savings account, but it may not yield very much. So sometimes if you had, and I'm just thinking, what are your alternate solutions? You could say, let me put it into an annuity with a flexible premium contract. And as long as you have a big amount of money that you wanted to put in there and get the tax deferral, that's another way, right?
Yeah, true. Absolutely. So, and that's the thing is where he could put it, so if it comes into his checking account every month, then it's going to stay in the bank, but he's going to have to go invest it somewhere. And what's important for everyone to understand is if you're not spending money, it should be growing. So a lot of people, again, go back to like annuities are not just for income. Income and accumulation can be done at the same time. But where you accumulate the money is your choice. And that's what you were talking about before. You could say, obviously, the money's going to come into a bank account and you're going to leave it there. And I always thought that this guy, he'll buy the annuity and then he'll call me in 5 years and say, well, I've got all this money coming in. Where should I put it? I'm like, wait a second. You should have just done it different in the beginning. And then it comes down to what your personal preferences are. Banks don't pay a whole lot of interest and the stock market's got risk to it. So what do you want to do?
If somebody felt like I like the risk and maybe they could make it work in their favor, they could. There's a bunch of options. But in this particular case, if they feel this is cash flow that I want to protect and I want it to grow, I would be hard pressed to think of, you know, and you don't want any chance of loss, then that insurance company offers that happy medium of better growth than a savings account, but no loss of capital for market risk.
Yeah. Some people would want to go put it in a savings account so they could just go get all of it at any point in time, even though they're not going to get paid a whole lot of interest. Some people are more than comfortable with the risk associated with the market. And for those people, the annuity is not a choice. But if you want to protect the downside, but have some growth in addition to it, that's kind of what we're here to talk about, what the annuity can do.
And by the way, sorry to interrupt, but it would be a good time to remind people that this is Annuity Straight Talk. And if you go to the annuitystraighttalk.com website, you can go to 800-438-5121, hit the schedule a call button. All right, back to you, Brian.
We're here to talk about what the annuity can do if you wanted to go that route, okay? So you've got the notes, Ashok, what I did, and you understand this because we've talked about a bunch. I showed him a deferred annuity. So what is a deferred annuity?
The deferred annuity.
Go in basic terms.
Yeah, the deferred annuity would be where you don't need the money immediately. It's deferred. And I'm pretty sure the one you also showed was a fixed deferred annuity, so that way there wasn't any chance of... When you show that illustration, the worst case scenario is that the money just never grows. It's always intact. You might earn like 0%, but then there's a possibility for it to grow better than that. And I think the illustration, if you're showing roughly like 3.78%, that's very reasonable, because we usually think that contracts like this usually generate somewhere between 3 to 5%. So that's very reasonable.
And I think that's fair. That is fair. So thank you for doing that. And when we say 3.78%, like I kind of, and Ashok, you can speak to this as well, but we can play with the numbers. And there's lots of guys that are out there saying, oh, hey, this contract from wherever has averaged 10% every year for the last 10 years. And we all run numbers based on past performance. But I'm not the kind of guy that's ever going to go out there and tell you to expect a 10% yield every year. What I like to do, but when we're doing situations like this, where we're saying an alternative to guaranteed income, we've got to be conservative with it, knowing that if we can project a reasonable return on something and still make everything work really well, but give someone a lot more benefits, if the 10% happens, that'll be really good news. But you don't want to do plans based on a 10% return and then find out in the long run that you only got 4 or 5, because then you're going to be disappointed. So we start really low. We're not aggressive salesmen trying to talk about what this contract can do. We know the contract can do that, but we're still going to run the numbers at a very conservative level.
And I think it's also good to just, this may be a bit too basic, but what the heck, these are time-weighted returns. So with the fixed index annuity, there's going to be some years where the markets are much higher year over year than in other cases. And the way I might explain it would be just like someone's playing baseball. There's going to be some home runs they hit. There's going to be times where they just bunt. There's going to be times where they just get to second base. But if you were to take those disparate types of returns and do what's called a geometric weighted average, you would see it's as if you grew the money at 3.78% per year. And because we're using a fixed indexed annuity, which is, you actually by design can see something that hopefully does better than 3.78% if your underlying indices are uncapped. If you have indices that are capped at, say, 3%, and I'm going to throw it back to you, Brian, because you know there was a very nice gentleman who subscribes to your newsletters, and we had a nice discussion, but the whole capped versus uncapped was something I thought I'd explained it. So could you explain when we talk about a capped index versus an uncapped index in a fixed index annuity?
Absolutely. And so a cap is, and a lot of people will see the cap rates and being, so let's say a cap rate is 5%. If the index goes up 10 and the cap rate is 5, you only get 5%. And so some people will say, well, that's not very much. That's the most I can ever make, right? Whereas a participation rate, if you do a 50% participation rate on the index and it goes up 10, you get 5% as well. But if the index goes 20, the cap rate's only going to pay you 5, but the participation rate would give you half, which is 10%, correct? And this has been very popular. And I'm actually glad that this is a part of index annuities in general, is that the participation rates do give you much more potential, but there are times when the index might only do 3%. In a time when the index does 3%, a 50% participation rate would only give you 1.5, whereas a 5% cap would give you the full 3, okay? And so I like to have a combination of caps and participation rates and blend the contract to a point where you can see a consistency of returns over time. It's not all about just chasing the highest performance. Some would like to do that because they know the contract in itself is hedged against loss, but it is important to have options in a contract so that in modest growth years, of which there have been many in the market, you still have the opportunity to receive a decent yield.
I think this is where if people are looking at an illustration and they want to figure out what would Brian do, you don't have to just think that. You can actually call that number 800-438-5121, show the illustration and say, Brian, based on your design, where what you, how you like to design it, do you like this choice of indices? Do you like the caps and the participation rates?
And I never figured it out on my own. This was working with other people and everybody had their own preferences. And I like to say the guy who did the best over time or the most consistent over time was a guy who, it was a contract that had six different index options. And he said, let's just put 16% in five of them and 17% in one or whatever the math was. And let's just leave it. After his first year, he did okay. And he said, I don't want to overthink it. Let's just leave it that way and let it roll. And he was right. It worked really well. And there's other people that do different things and people that really swing for the fences in their contract and say, hey, the money's protected. Let's go for the highest. I think this is going to happen. But that's kind of the interesting thing is like, I take 100 different reallocation meetings into consideration when we talk about how to allocate money on a year-to-year basis.
I think it's important to say, not only will people who listen to this podcast and take us up on the opportunity to have you look at it, not only have you been hitting the books, but you've seen actual designs, as I have, in the field, and you study these contracts and say, yeah, but did you know about this feature? So hit us up on this offer. Go to 800, go to annuitystraighttalk.com, dial 800-438-5121, hit the schedule a call button, say, I'm getting this illustration. Do you like this design? What would you guys do? We'd be happy to take you up on that.
Thank you for saying that, Ashok. And like I said, you can always get a hold of us. We're here, but I'm going to teach you something about how you can do the guaranteed income in a different way. Okay. And Ashok, you know, this goes a little bit deeper. We can take it to a couple different levels, right?
Correct.
And so, but for now, we're just going to look at a simple annuity. So if instead of buying the income rider, if Mark bought a deferred annuity and took the same amount of income out, so after 5 years, he just started taking $34,000 a year and he only earned 3.78%. After 20 years, he would have more than almost $350,000 left in the account. So he was 63 years old. So he'd be 83. He'd still have 350 left. What do you think about that, Ashok? I mean, it's pretty conservative. We could go, if I did 5%, it was quite a bit more, but we're looking at market returns and a good annuity contract.
I like that. And remember, he started off with 500,000. He's been taking distributions. And you're saying that after 20 years, that 500 would have dropped down to 350 because you're getting an assumed rate of return inside the contract of 3.78% year in and year out. So it's almost like, just so we can kind of picture this, you've got a tub of water and what's coming out of the drain would be like 34,000, but what's coming out of the tap on the top is something like 3.78%. So hopefully the water level after 20 years would have gone down from 500,000 down to about 350, but the tub is still full. And that 3.78% you can get in the early 2020s when most yields on savings accounts are lower. And you know that that tub is cast iron and it made sure that it was protecting you from market could have gone much higher, but then the market can also go lower. And so this protects all your money. Is that a good way of thinking about what you just shared?
I think that is a good way of thinking about it. Like if the tap's pouring in a half gallon and you're pulling out a gallon, it's going to take longer for that tub to be empty.
And if something happens to you along the way, because annuities are contracts, there are provisions, the beneficiaries, you know exactly where it can go to without going through the whole probate process.
Yeah. So obviously this would be, because it's a real estate proceeds, this would be a non-qualified contract. The annuity itself avoids probate. So whatever remainder value when you pass away would pass to your next of kin. So your spouse or your kids or whoever your favorite charity is. I've got clients that have sent the money to a favorite charity as well. So aside from probate, it's a pretty slick and easy transfer to the next generation. So
this might be a good time to also say, when you buy an annuity contract, periodically, maybe at the policy anniversary times, check those beneficiary designations. Make sure those are still that's all current and still what needs to be happening.
That's a really good plug, Ashok, because a lot of times people will get into a contract and they don't know, they don't, maybe don't have the social security number for all their kids or whoever it is. And so people need to know just in simple form. It doesn't, it's not worth a podcast, but a beneficiary designation can be changed at any time with about 10 minutes of work. And that's why you call us. And that's what we're here to do service wise. So you can make it simple in the beginning to get the paperwork out of the way, but you can change it at any point in time. It's an insurance contract. So when I look at $34,000 a year, after 20 years, he's got $350,000 left in the account. That seems like a pretty healthy balance. And it's going to really depend on what a person wants. So if you can get more income than $34,000, then maybe if income's what's important, you take the income contract. But if you want flexibility with the assets and control of it, then having $350,000 left in your early 80s would probably be pretty beneficial. And so this is my question to a lot of people. Ashok, and you tell me if you think, is there a better way to create income, avoid volatility, plan for inflation, have control of the money the whole time, and leave a legacy? All those five things together, is it possible to do it in a better way?
Broadly speaking, there are three types of entities that can hold your money. It's either going to be a bank, an insurance company, or a brokerage fund, a brokerage company. So we can avoid volatility where we put it in a bank, but then, you know, because they're not paying very high interest rates right now. And if we assume that maybe inflation is going to run higher than those savings accounts may pay, that's going to be a problem. So there's a trade-off there. We could go into the other camp and say, let's grow our monies faster than maybe we might expect inflation to grow, but then we don't avoid the volatility. So that middle ground solution that you proposed to me seems like we're hitting on all five of those objectives.
No, you're right. That's kind of how I feel about it. But then again, personal preferences, this is something where it's good to have a serious discussion with each person based on what they want to do. So I look at, and I thought in some situations, the numbers are just blow it out of the water. And it's such a good, nice strategy. It's safe money and you can take the money you want. And especially for someone who doesn't necessarily need the income, but wants to protect the money. So I thought maybe, I guess we're not big time yet, but maybe Ken Fisher would, do you think he'd want to come debate me?
If he had something better to do, he might not have put it that way.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't think he is. So it's not always about the highest yield, although so I ran this annuity to the maximum, but it's not about the highest yield. And I remember, so there's a couple index options in there if you go aggressive in the contract. And it's the same thing, $34,000 a year with a remainder of more than $1.8 million after 20 years. And that's a market-like return. Is it not, Ashok? So again, we go conservative to say 350, but we know the contract has the potential to do much higher. We're obviously going to go for the most we can get within reason, but that's kind of, I think it's a pretty powerful idea, to be honest, for a lot of people who don't like the idea of losing control of their money when they go to an insurance contract.
I should caveat, by the way, that the returns that you can get out of a fixed index annuity, because they're looking at a market index, those are not going to include the dividends. So, and many of the market-like returns are usually total returns that include the dividends. So, but like you said, I'm in complete agreement. Your original estimates were based off of something very reasonable of about somewhere between 3-5%. But it shows you the potential if you could get this out of the contract. And as long as the contract by design gave you unlimited upside, you could have fun with the numbers and say, what if? There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're saying, what if,
absolutely,
and the design can't permit that, now this is just fantasy.
Exactly. Yes. And I would consider 3.78 to be okay, but I'd be pretty disappointed with the result. That's not that great, but it gets him where he needs to be, and he's got a whole lot more control of the money. So there is certainly more potential in there. But again, we're going to go conservative. We're not going to be banging the drum, 10% a year. I hate those guys.
Well, and the other thing I keep plugging and I keep coming back to is what we could do here when people go to Annuity Straight Talk. Call the number 800-438-5121. Hit schedule a call. The key thing is that you and I love to see different contracts from different carriers bottoms up. And I'll give you a quick example. Someone was sharing with me something on the life insurance side about a week ago, and I put it up like on the hydraulics and looked at it, and I just said, wow, this is really cool. I like those designs. So if you and I see a lot of different designs, what our people who tune into Annuity Straight Talk get to see is what we think are the best designs out there, not because we've been told we've got to go, quote unquote, move those products, as opposed to what are the best products we feel that are out there that meet the design criteria, along with things like your five keys to retirement.
Absolutely. And I think people might think I'm crazy, but I think one of my favorite things that happens, Ashok, is when someone calls me, and usually it's someone, in this case, it's going to be someone really confident. You know, they like how I present myself. Maybe we have some things in common, but I love it when a guy calls and says, hey, I think I got this really good plan. Would you just look at it and tell me if I got it right? When I see a good plan, like a good annuity and a good strategy and all this stuff, I'm like, I want to meet that advisor. I want to talk to that guy. Yeah, I think that's great. Go for it. He sounds like a good dude. I'm not here to beat up every annuity proposal and say, you got to buy everything from me. But if you've got access to an excellent guy, give us a chance to just confirm that for you and be happy to do it. And I probably have a couple dozen people who bought annuities from someone else, but still like to read the newsletters. And some of them have started listening to the podcasts, and we've got a good relationship. We never did business together. And, you know, they're respectful of my time. They'll call, hey, sorry to bug you. No, it's, there's times I'm busy and times I'm not, just like you or anyone else. But I love to keep in touch with people no matter what, no matter who they are. And we're more than happy to offer a second opinion on a really good plan. If it's not a really good plan, we're going to try to teach you something and talk about a different way of doing things. That's all.
I love it. I think this is where people should feel comfortable with the concept of annuities in general. And Brian, by the way, I didn't tell you I saw this, but there's a trade industry group that just sent out an email today, and the headline reads, majority of Gen X investors are interested in annuities. So there's different generations that are looking at these products,
That's us.
For the first time, and some maybe are familiar with it, and they just want a couple of friendly people who can just say, yeah, good job, let's validate what you're doing, or maybe, you know, there's another way of doing it, and have you looked at this? And either way, in both cases, people are going to have an informed decision, and they'll be better off for it.
Absolutely. It makes sense. So to recap what we're doing with Mark here, so what does he get out of it? Where he goes, his top end is 1.8 million after 20 years. A very conservative projection is 350,000. So again, what's important here is the five keys of retirement. He's get, because he doesn't need extra income, he's got discretionary access to an account. It could be more or less than is desired. It's his choice what he wants to take out of it. He gets protected from market volatility with no fees whatsoever. There's a substantial remainder that would offer true inflation protection. If interest rates rise and you've got a bunch of money left, you can reposition that asset and potentially get a much better deal down the road. Control of the money with opportunity to reposition assets. That's what I just said. If money remains in the account, this offers the best chance to leave an inheritance while also doing all of the above. Income, protection, inflation, control, and legacy. Those are the five keys of retirement. What do you think about those, Ashok?
I am impressed. I like it.
Well, that's why we started talking, right?
That's right. And that's why we're going to keep talking on Annuity Straight Talk.
That's why he's the man in Washington, or the man for anybody who's, well, there's going to be a lot of people who like you better than me. So,
well, this has been a great, I mean, I've certainly appreciated this is a way of looking at how annuities aren't just necessarily for income. They can be used for safe accumulation. And it's important when you're looking for these products, make sure that you have another pair of eyeballs to hopefully validate what you're thinking of and maybe what the other advisor is saying, and make sure that you're making your best possible purchase.
Yeah, perfect. Exactly. And so what people might notice who have been around for a while that have been reading the newsletters, and Ashok, you and I have been talking about this since we met, but there's a lot of newsletters in the past where I've touched on this. And so there's notes below the episode, the show notes, where you can have links to those articles and all that stuff. So this is not something I came up with today. It's not something Ashok came up with today. It's something that we've been uncovering and discovering for our careers. And it's something we know really well. And there are times when you can use it and times when you would not. But again, I just think it's better to work with someone who's going to look at all those options rather than the one guy who's got one stack of brochures on his desk and that's all he's going to do. So
I said it before, maybe on one of the other podcasts, there was that episode of Saturday Night Live, Cheeseburger, Cheeseburger, Cheeseburger. And they said, You know, I want this other drink. No, Pepsi, no Coke. So it's better to have choices and realize every person's situation is different. And let's show you all of the offerings and let you make an informed decision.
That is absolutely true. And I think we're good for this one. And I appreciate you joining me again, Ashok. And we've had some scheduling issues, but we're both busy and we're working it out. So you guys are going to see this, and there's going to be a newsletter that accompanies it. So you'll get a chance to read that as well. And if you need us, you can get a hold of Annuity Straight Talk. Go to the website, annuitystraighttalk.com. Schedule a call, green button, upper right corner of any page on the site. And the number is 800-438-5121. So get a hold of us. We'd love to talk to you. So, Ashok, thank you.
Thank you, Brian. And one last thing, one last plug. If you like this podcast, be sure to hit the subscribe button so that you're always alerted of new episodes that come along the way.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day. And we will see you next time. Have a good one.
You have been listening to Annuity Straight Talk. The preceding information is for informational and educational purposes only and does not represent tax, legal, or investment advice. The views expressed by guests on this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Annuity Straight Talk or its partners. No information presented today should be acted upon without meeting with a qualified or licensed professional. It is important that you read all insurance contract disclosures carefully before making a purchase decision. Guarantees are based on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the insurance company.
Ashok S. Ramji is an investment advisor representative of Insight Folios, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is notice filed or is excluded or exempted from notice filing requirements. Any fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered through his association with Insight Folios, Inc. Top Planning LLC is not a registered investment advisor and is not another name under which Insight Folios provides services. Insurance products and services only are offered through Top Planning LLC. Insight Folios, Inc. and Top Planning LLC are not affiliated companies.